Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We're currently going through the book of Hebrews with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 1, ending in verse 18, where we see that the book of Hebrews is all about Jesus is better. But as we see through today's teaching, he is not only better, he is a superior savior and is supreme to all foreshadows of him found in the Old Testament. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Hebrews 10, verse 1.
See ya, kid. That's because I always say that to him, and there's this bond there. That's none of your business, though, by the way. That wasn't even supposed to be funny. It's amazing how that works. It's none of your business. This is a dialogue, if you would, between me and my son. And even as I show it to you, it's something that's his voice alone could make me cry. His little raspy voice. I could see the smirk on his face as he's commentating on the video. I could see his little eyes dance as he watches the Yankees get the out because he freaks out if things don't go well. There's something so special. It's way more than that clip. For you, it was a quick clip. You probably won't even think about it. For me, that was life. I'll never get rid of that video. I'm so overwhelmed this week by this passage of Scripture where I got a clip, if you would, recorded by the author here of a divine dialogue with Father and Son, of the triune Godhead from eternity past. I can't really even get my mind around it. It says that when Jesus came into the world, verse 5. So this is predating his incarnation, before he was born of Virgin Mary. This is like, I was going to say pre-existence. I would mean his earthly existence, of course. It's sometime in eternity past where there's this conversation between the Godhead, Jesus, and the Father, because there's three persons, one God, if you're not familiar, and they know that there's a dilemma here. Man has sinned, and man's sin causes separation from the Godhead and his creation. And they knew from the get-go, since Genesis 3, when that animal was sacrificed, and Adam and Eve were clothed in the garden, they know that that is not going to suffice. That's just the start of sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice. So it's as though there's this conversation. The Bible says that the Lamb of God, Jesus, was slain for our sins from before the foundation of the world. And it says that before he came into cosmos, is the word world there, it's mankind. It says that he said to the Father, Jesus, Dad, I know sacrifices and offerings you don't want. Because it doesn't work. It was good for the time being, but there had to be something to look forward to, as there has to be for you and I, something to look back to. It doesn't work. And it's crazy here, because Jesus, who's God, don't make mistakes. Don't look at him like he's inferior to the Father, like there's a pecking order in a household, like today, like Dad's the top dog, he's the alpha, then there's the son and the children, the family. That's not how this is. Listen, he's the Father, but the Son is equal to the Father. So Jesus wasn't forced into anything. He stepped up, if you would. And he said, and whatever his occupancy was, like, I don't quite understand that. He became man. He wasn't eternally man. This is called kenosis, Philippians chapter 2. Jesus emptied himself not of deity, but into humanity. He took on, listen to me, please. He added on to his deity humanity. He never stopped being God. He's always been God. He didn't become a God. He's always been God. He was God. He is God, and he will always be God. What he did here is he stepped up and he said, Father, listen, I get it. These things aren't sufficing, the blood of bulls and goats and sacrifices. Some of you have said through our study in Hebrews, man, I don't like it. It's a lot of blood. It's a lot of offering. It makes me sick, right? It made him sick too. So he steps up and he says, listen, I get it. A body have you prepared for me. This is insane. This is like a costume, if you would. Like somehow back in eternity, like there's a body here that you literally prepared for me. You've built for me. You fit for me. You've custom tailored for me to empty my deity into as humanity, because I have to become one of them if I'm going to save them. So, Father, this is a clip. He's quoting Psalm 40. David penned Psalm 40 some thousand years before the writer here did. A thousand years before the writer here did. But now we're getting the fullness of that messianic prophecy. It was speaking of Jesus and his suffering. You've prepared a body for me, because burnt offerings and sacrifices, they didn't do it for you. They didn't bring you full pleasure. So then said I, verse 7, lo, that's like a big word there. Consider this. I come in the volume of the book to do your will, O God. What's his will? To get you back. The word will there is so full of pathos. That's the Greek for emotion. It's not just intellectual. The Father's will for you is full of love. The Father's will for you is full of love. Father, I see the dilemma. Father, I understand the scenario. If I, as the sinless one, don't step into the world and die for sinners, their death, and pay the price for their sins, there could never be again a complete connection. There is no other bridge to get them to us. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to empty myself into, not of my deity, but empty myself into humanity. I'm going to become one of them so that I can do your will, oh God. What's that? Die once and for all for them so they never have to die. They don't ever have to go to hell. They don't ever have to pay the price for their sins. And they can instantaneously, at their last breath on earth, be ushered into our presence. Well, that was nice of them. That's amazing of him, right? I don't even know if we always understand what happened, though. He took on a human body never to be put off again. The body that Jesus Christ emptied himself into, that he said that the Holy Spirit and Father prepared for him, is the body that we're going to see him in when we go to glory. And we are going to see him. You read about Revelation, man, the center object of heaven is the Lamb of God 29 times who was slain for our sins. The only man-made things there are going to be the piercings and the lashings and the whipping scars that have been left behind when he was on this earth. And we are going to behold him in that body that he took upon himself so that he could die once. He had to have a body to die once and once and for all so that we could enter into rest. Because if there is not complete forgiveness of sins, there's no rest. And all that Jesus wants for you, all that the Father wants for you, all that the Holy Spirit wants for you is you to enter into not just the fullness of his joy, but the fullness of his rest of a completed work in him. He just wants you to rest. He just wants you to understand you shouldn't strive. He's not striving. You shouldn't strive. He just wants you to get it that if you try to add to it, you're going to mess it up. Leave it alone. It's perfect. It's complete. It's final. It's done. Accept it. Receive and believe and enjoy it. He's quoting Psalm 40. People say, well, there's a description here. Because in Psalm 40, it talks about the ear being opened up of the person that this is writing of, and nothing here is said in Hebrews of that, right? There's no problem with that whatsoever. The writer here would have quoted that in the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Scriptures. And the Holy Spirit, who's the author of both Psalm 40 and Hebrews 10, gave us understanding anyways. And if you say there's a problem, there's no problem, because all it says is that he opened up his ears, the servant's ears, which is Jesus, obviously, and the Father had to give Jesus a body for ears to be opened. And if you say, well, that's not the explanation, well, then fine, we'll use Exodus chapter 21. When a servant in the household would be said to by the master, hey, you are set free, you could go, you served your time. You owed us 7 years, you gave us 7 years. And the servant would say to the master, oh, no, I don't ever want to leave your house. I want my will to be your will for the rest of my days. In your house, I got my wife. In your house, I got my kids. In your house, I've made a livelihood. I don't want to go anywhere. And the master would say, are you sure? I'm sure, master. Then come here. And they take the ear, and they put the awl in the ear. They dig out the flesh, and they pierce it with an earring. And that meant that you belong to that master forevermore. Either which way, he had to have ears to ear, and he gave his life to honor the life and the will of the Father. Because he said when he walked this earth, I never do my will. I always do the will of the Father. And the only time he did say, I will, is in John chapter 17 when he said to the Father, I will that they, you, would be with me, us, him, in glory. No more inferior sacrifices because there's no more sin to be paid for. It's done. You're sanctified in Christ. You're clothed in robes of righteousness. When he sees you, he sees perfection. When the devil comes up there and he points his finger into the Father's face, and did you know about your kid down there doing what he's doing, running around, acting the way he's been acting? Jesus just opens the filing cabinet, pulls out the blank sheet, and says, Father, you see their file. White as snow. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. There is nothing here any longer. Why? Because he chooses not to remember. This never ends. What do you mean? It just told you. He didn't forget anything. God's God. He can't forget. He did something greater. He chooses not to remember any longer your sins. So his sacrifice is superior because Old Testament sacrifices, all they do is reminder, reminder, reminder of your failings. His sacrifice, when you come to the Lord's table, when you commune with him, when you sup with him, when you celebrate him, it's not a reminder. It's remission, remission, remission. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. You're sanctified. You're sanctified. You're set apart to do what, though? How's this thing closed? What do we do with it? You're sanctified to do what your Savior has done. You are set apart to now do the Father's will. That's where this thing closes this morning. Like, this is the okay, you're the running back now. Here's the ball. Take it and run it down the enemy's throat. Okay? And that's what I'm going to do right now. I'm giving you the ball. This is the ball. The word of God this morning. Take it. You are sanctified forever. Take the ball, put it close to your bosom, and run as hard as you can toward the prize, toward the high mark of the calling in Jesus Christ. You are blood bought. You are his. You're not your own. It's a once and for all thing. It's finished. Don't try to add to it. Don't take from it. Just accept it and enjoy it. Find rest in it and believe it. You're sanctified, you're set apart, and there is a will that God has for you. 90 years old, 80 years old, 60 years old, 30 years old, 10 years old, wherever you find yourself this morning, there is a will that God has for you as his kid, and he wants to use you. If he was done with you, he would have taken you home. You got air in your lungs, he wants to use you. Handicapped, marred, scarred, blemished, blurred, whatever, it doesn't matter. It's all part of God's story for your life. He's going to use you. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. You're unique. You're made in his image. He's got plans and purposes for you right now. So here's what you do. You say, God, I see in your word that there was a will that even you humbled yourself to follow after. You're God. What an example of humility. That you emptied yourself, not of your deity, but into humanity, and you did what the Father wanted you to do, and you're equal to the Father. You demonstrated lowliness of mind, thinking, humility, I'm doing the same. You did this for me, the least I could do for you is give you my life. The least I could do for you is give you my life so that I can say, like you said, thy will, O God, is what I'm here to do. All right, Pastor, I got it. How do I do it? That's the most asked question to every pastor. How do I know the will of God? Here's how. Here's how I know the will of God. Here's how I believe that I do the will of God. By seeking it. Just by every single day saying, God, this day is yours. I am yours. Like the little boy with a few loaves and fishes, Lord, I'm not much at all. I really don't even have anything to really give you besides me. And it's almost kind of like, ooh, it's embarrassing. This is all I got, Lord. All I got is my own life, my instruments, my tools, my hands, my feet, my mouth, my being. All I got is me, Lord. Here I am. Take me, break me, bless me, multiply me. Use me for your glory to reach people, feed people, and minister to people in your name. Seeking to be in the will of God is being in the will of God. Just here I am, God. Take my life. And it's going to look different every day. It could be different. You know something, first service, I came out here, and this is the worst cold that anyone's ever had. It's very clear. It's evident. And I thought, I'm not that bad, though. Like, I really don't feel that bad, so I came here ready to preach. And first service, they started doing that shout out to God with the voice of triumph. And I cannot not sing. Some of you don't sing. Some of you are able to just do this. I watch you. Some of you could just do that. You just stare. I don't know why. Some of you just, that's what you do. You just stare. That's your part. Some of you will do a little of this. You know, some of you do get a little, some of you just kind of do one of these. I don't know. For me, it's everything. I'm all or nothing kind of a person. So for me, if I'm going to worship Jesus, and it's good for my ego, it's good for my emotions because I could be emotional. So I believe if I put my body through the motion, my emotions will catch up. I got to surrender. It's so many reasons. For me, it's both hands in the air, don't even care, and eyes are closed unless I don't know the words, and I'm singing with all that I am to my Savior. And I don't know how not to do that if I'm at a church service, because then I feel like, why am I even here if I'm not going to be all there? Wherever you are, be all there. So I'm like, if I'm here, I might as well do it. So first service, I'm at the wall getting ready to go, and they start doing that. It was really cool how you guys did that too. Wherever all the band is, I want everybody to know, you went in from that one to that, and you just, the way you dropped it and went into that, it was amazing. And I started to sing, and I couldn't sing. My voice started going in and out. And I thought, oh, Lord, this is bad. I was like, I'm not going to even be able to speak. Just, I'll stop singing. Just honor that, Lord, and give me my voice. Never have I not had my voice in almost a decade of preaching, completely. I get up here to preach. I can't even speak. I went into a coughing fit for what felt like 10 minutes. It probably was only a couple, but it felt like forever. Dead silence, me just coughing. Just be right back, just coughing. The most awkward, uncomfortable. I had to have Mary Pastorella bring me a cough drop. She interrupted my intermittent fasting. Daniel had to get me a cup of tea with honey. It was dramatic. If you don't feel for me, I broke a rib. Lost feeling in my left arm. No, it was bad. It was embarrassing. I could not get through the text. A very different service than this. And I'm talking about being in the will of God. I did everything I could to show up. Went to bed on time last night, drank tea, drank honey, ate cough drops, everything I could. The rest was on the Lord. The Lord allowed it. I trust I was in your will, oh God. I had like good stuff to share. I didn't do it first or second. I had other stuff. I was like, Lord, I'm ready to do this. And the Lord just didn't allow it. I could barely even get anything out. It was less than 20-something minutes of a message. Some of you are thinking, I should have went to first. Maybe. But be that as it may, you're at second, so wherever you are, be all there. All this stuff was going on in that service, and the Lord was ministering to my heart. You're right where I had a peace. I enjoyed that service more than I've enjoyed. I barely even spoke. Maybe that's why. I enjoyed that service more than any service that I've enjoyed in the longest of time. Seriously, because I knew I was right where God wanted me to be. Walk down the stage, go to my office. A couple of the guys came to me throughout. A couple texts, a couple of the guys went to me. You won't believe it. One lady came to me and said, if I was literally weeping the whole service. Everything you were saying. A little offended because I wasn't saying much, but everything that was going on, was exactly for me. I just went on a totally different path than I would have if I really preached. Because the Lord just allowed me to hack for and make a jerk out of myself for however long. But he used it for his glory. I got another text from a couple in the church right now, really sick, going through a lot of stuff. That was the sermon exactly that I needed. I just thought, you know what, Lord, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. Like maybe a visitor came and thought that was ridiculous. He should have stayed home. Why did he go up? He wasted my time. Maybe that happened. But you know what? A handful of people I already know about said that was exactly what they needed. So, Lord, if you were glorified in it, I am here to do your will. Oh God, I'm not my own. I've been bought at a price, the greatest, most precious price of the blood of Jesus. I've been purchased by him. I've been sealed with the Spirit of God. I'm sanctified. And this is what he called me to do. This is what he wants me to do. I'm going to do it. And maybe it's going to be today when you're pumping your gas or you're at that family dinner or you're at the store real quick before you go and watch football with the family that God is going to, you got to trust that all the steps of the righteous man, they're ordered by the Lord. And everything we go through is filtered through his most precious, beautiful nail-pierced hand. And there's such a consolation in that. I'm here to do your will. So, Lord, this is obviously your will because I'm seeking to be in your will. And I'm not a robot. So you don't overimpose. You're a gentleman. You wait. You don't play king of the hill. You stay at the base of the hill and you wait for me to get off the top and say, you take your rightful place. And then everything in my life, it's just, now I'm like understanding, Lord, there's such correlation with Matthew 11 when Jesus said, yoke up with me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. No striving. Just, okay, I got a flat tire. I'm going to witness to the police officer. I'm going to talk to the AAA guy. Okay, Lord, I don't feel very good. I got to go to the doctor. Okay, I'm going to talk to the doctor. Sure, maybe they're going to tell me something. I'm just going to pray for them. They thought they were there to help me. I'm going to pray for them. Who knows, like, how God's going to use your goings, your doings, but he just will. He works all things together for the good who are the called according to his purposes. You've been called. You've been enlisted. You're on the team. Take the ball and run it down the enemy's throat. Amen? Amen. Father, bless your people, I pray. Bless him, God. As we wake up every day and we seek to give you our lives, Lord, we seek to choose you this day that we will serve. It is never easy. It's always the higher road. It's always the straight and narrow path. It's always the path of, I feel most opposition, not least opposition. So, Lord, we need you to strengthen us if we're going to run the race to win. Lord, we need you to strengthen us. And I think that the doctrine here in Hebrews 10 does that, reminding us that our sins are forgiven completely. We are fully yours, that you're working in us and through us to will to do of your good pleasure. I think that we have all the resources. Now we just got to apply them. So as we seek to do that, Lord, this week, the week of October 6th, 2019, God, let us be able to take some stakes and put them in the ground today. That we can see your glory, God, as we give you our lives, Lord, as we just do what you want us to do, that we could follow you and speak for you and live for you according to your plans and purposes, God. What a life to live. What an abundant life. So much better than being about what we want to be and doing what we want to do, God. This is far superior living for you and your kingdom. So, Lord, strengthen us. Keep us in touch with you, Lord, so that we can hear you and we can speak back. Let there be great intimacy between us as your bride and you as our husband. We love you, God, and we're going to sing to you a closing song because you are worthy of all of our praise. And it's in the name of Jesus, all God's people said, amen. Let's stand and worship the Lord. God bless you.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. My blood and water.